The honor is mine to welcome you, Amanda B., to Daily Tips That May or May Not Help You. This is the podcast where Ned and I, my name's Arielle, we offer tips every single day that may or may not help the listeners, who we call Tippendales. Every Wednesday on our show, we have a guest tipper of the month. This month, October, we've got Amanda B., and we then talk to our guest tipper more in depth about who they are, how they came to be who they are, and also we try to get the background on their tips and, you know, see if we can learn something from their tips to bring into our own lives and then maybe yours as well, Tippendales. Without further ado, welcome to the show, Amanda B. How are you today?
Thank you so much. I'm feeling really grateful to be here and very impressed by all the amazing tips y'all have shared. As I'm a Tippendale myself as a listener, so...
Ned, we love
we
to hear
love
that. We love to find Tippendales in the wild.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Amanda, I don't particularly know you beyond that we've interacted a lot under the Podcast Academy. I'm wondering if you could tell the Tippendales a little bit about who you are, where they could find you, and kind of like a quick little sound bite of Amanda B.
Sure. Well, I am, as they say, Amanda B. Also, I have a moniker for my cat-themed culture, history, and science, and now nature podcast, 6 Degrees of Cats, which, yes, is named after like 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, because I will take three experts in a very specific and sometimes surprising disciplinary field. They could be academic, they could be like an influencer, they could be a domain expert in some way, and I will thread them together with the theme of a kitty cat. So, you know, we've covered the Vikings, we've covered masculinity, we've covered intimate partner violence. There's all sorts of things that you would be surprised have something catalyzed by cats. And it kind of takes like a radio lab approach. It's a narrative, I'm not just talking about my cat, which may or may not disappoint people. But yeah, I got into podcasting actually through Spotify SoundUp USA's inaugural pilot to encourage more women of color and non-binary people into podcasting. Through that, this bonkers little podcast concept was collected out of 18,000 applications. And I remember them saying, I had no idea there were so many things you could talk about when it came to cats. And I said, oh, this is just 2% of what I think of with cats. That's how my mind works. I have a really interesting kind of dotted line career. I've worked in Alzheimer's research. I've worked in social impact, social justice. I've done a lot of sex ed adjacent trainings, which is a whole cluster of hilarious and embarrassing stories, which has made me embarrassment proof with young people. And I also just really, I'm also a musician, so I have a rock and roll band. And, you know, I got to tell you, this podcast, just I'd say like everybody in podcasting, we're all multidisciplinary, multi-talented, multi-hyphenates. And it's just wonderful to bring all of these constellations of different things in my mind together into one 30 to 45 minute episode.
There was so much in there.
A lot just happened for me.
Okay. Aria.
Ned, you go first. You go first.
I have so many questions. But the first question I have is just built around like, you named like 9 different stars in the constellation that makes up whatever this is. Was it like, obviously it can't have been a linear path, but like, did you find all of them coexisting at once? Or was it like a left turn here and a left turn there and a right turn here, right? Was it a path that you found everything got to coexist, or you kept getting to add things as you went on?
I like the way you phrase that, and it's very additive. I'd almost like to say, like a cat, I'm just curious, and I just follow things, and I go places, and I'm like, well, I don't know where it's going to go, but it seems like a yes, so let's just keep going.
Then looking back, what would you say is the first star? Where did you start? What was the thing that pushed you down this snowball's journey?
When I decided to move to Japan, which is the very first country outside of the United States that I had ever visited as an adult. Yes, I was born outside of the United States, but then I lived for the next years of my life in West Michigan. So yes, that set the course that changed my life.
What took you to Japan?
I got accepted into a really cool program that imports internationalism, meaning drops people who would never have necessarily gone to Japan because we didn't have means or necessarily we didn't study Japanese. We weren't Japan experts. And they drop us into the middle of a place that doesn't really attract foreigners. It's called the JET program. And they literally were created to, quote unquote, import internationalism.
Wow.
Whoa.
It still exists. It was initially sponsored through the British consulate. It was an exchange between the UK and Japan. And I, yeah, that's what brought
me
there.
What did you do while you were there?
I was teaching English. Teaching English. Entertaining children.
Right. Sure.
Just kidding.
Well,
wow.
This podcast, Daily Tips That May or May Not Help You, is built around tips and tricks that can help you or not. So I am asking, when you get dropped into Japan to move there, what is your very first tip?
Oh, I love this. This should have been one of my tips, but...
Hey, it is now, kind of.
Extra.
Yes. Yes, it is. That's true. Let me rephrase this succinctly so your edit is clean.
Thank you.
Tip and Nails, that's an amazing way to be a guest.
Yeah.
Continue.
If ever you're going to guest on a podcast, do that.
I have so much empathy for the editing process. I think, okay, when you are trying to communicate with other people, your conversation will not continue with niceties like, nice to meet you, how are you, how's the weather? It will, if you can find immediately something to connect with them through that will continue the conversation. So for me, I love music. I know that no matter what language, if I meet somebody who has a passion that I'm sharing, we're going to find a way to communicate. So I memorized the sentence, what's your favorite kind of music in Japanese?
Oh.
I used that as an English lesson. So the students were teaching me how to speak Japanese just as I was teaching them how to speak English. So I taught them, I'm into, I really love, this is my favorite type of music. And they taught me that in Japanese. So once I was equipped with that, I could go out to any party, any event, and just randomly ask somebody after I met them, hey, so what kind of music do you like? And if they said a band I liked, or if they said a band I wasn't into, I knew how to continue that conversation or not.
Wow.
I love that. I love that a lot.
Can I jump into the music side of your constellation? What instrument have you played in the past and what do you play now and has that changed?
Oh my gosh, here's another tip for you. It is the guitar, which is the most portable social instrument you can play. Because you can go anywhere, and if you meet somebody who plays, you can jam if you feel comfortable doing that. You can't quite do that with a piano or a keyboard. It's a little difficult.
Or drums.
Or drums. The flute and the violin. And I mean, yeah, you can make it work. And so if I was a parent, I might encourage my child to like get into some sort of a hobby that they can take wherever they go and connect other people who like to do it. So for me, it was the guitar. I've been playing since I was about 14. I first started in classical guitar, and that is not what I play anymore. I forgot how to read music, too. That's kind of a regret. But I play rock and roll, and in fact, in Japan, that is how I was able to start jamming with my friends. We started a band, played gigs, small local gigs, and that was just such an incredible experience.
Wow. How long were you in Japan altogether?
5 years. Famous last words, I'm going to be here for 1 year and I'll go to grad school.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
That's never how it happens.
When you came back from Japan, what was the next constellation to get added?
I moved directly from Japan to New York.
Huh.
I thought I was going to go to San Francisco because before I moved to Japan, I did a small research project. That's what the grad school thing came into for I was focusing on Jerry psychology, which is the psychology of older adults and elderly folks. And Japan felt like a good place. They're famously known for their aging. But anyway, so I stayed in Japan for a long time. And then I found a job that trained me in their Tokyo headquarters, and they had an affiliate place in New York City. Worked there for about 6 months, but then realized I need to get back into a discipline that's actually like slightly more lucrative. Let's just say arts has no money. We knew this. Duh. And so that's how I got to New York. I thought I was going to go to San Francisco, but when this opportunity came up, I was like, New York, sure, why not?
And had you spent much time in New York before?
No, just one visit because my college boyfriend lived here and I visited for a week and I was like, this is great. I love it. All the concerts I can go to, but it really didn't cross my mind to actually settle here.
Well,
do you have any... Sorry, go ahead.
I think you're about to ask exactly what I was about to ask, so I want you to ask.
Maybe, because I have
two. Yes, go. Dive in.
One is, do you have any tips for finding concerts in New York? And the other one is, do you have any tips for newcomers to New York?
That is both of my questions.
No way.
Wow. Wow.
Okay, cool. Love that. Mind meld.
Exactly.
Choose your own adventure, Amanda B.
Oh, absolutely. Well, definitely for discovering music, I would recommend looking at the types of bands or musicians that you like and seeing if they're playing in your area. So then you can see what kind of venues they play. If they're major artists, they're going to play at probably a very large venue. So if you're more interested in kind of local scene, which I highly recommend in New York, especially since smaller venues really need support, independent artists really need that foot traffic into their shows, buy their merch if you go, you can definitely kind of check out some of the smaller venues that are connected to the genre. So if you're really into like jazz, R&B, there's such a great venue called New Blue. I maneuver quite a bit in the rock and roll scene. There's some incredible clubs that are concentrated in Ridgewood, Queens, Bushwick, and Greenpoint. TVI is one of my favorites. Union Pool, you can always find great shows there because the curators are really on point. This is the best city in the world for incredible shows. And I mean, in Harlem, you have the legendary Shrine. I don't want to exclude all these Manhattan venues, but I just don't go there very often. I'm in Brooklyn. That's a kind of a thing. So that would be my advice. There's websites like ohmyrockness.com, and you can actually set up alerts. They send a really fantastic curated digest that's like genre inclusive. There are several other Instagram accounts depending on your genre. So that's a good start, wow, though. Yeah.
Do you have something that, you know, you've just moved to New York or, you know, ignoring New York, you're moving to a new city? End of sentence, like that you would highly recommend as like your first stops after, you know, the basic needs and functions?
That's a really great question because I've moved a lot, like major moves. Yeah. Yeah. I moved from Michigan to Japan. I moved from Japan, actually. And then I moved to San Francisco for several months and really loved it there. That was a long time ago. And then I moved to Japan. Then I moved to the city. The best thing to do is to remember that you moved there for a reason. If you, even if you have financial limitations, really get to know that city. Don't be afraid to go out by yourself. Obviously, there's safety concerns. Find a buddy if you can. I would also say, you know, your first 6 months, you're always going to have those kind of, I don't know, what's the word? Second party introductions, like that cousin's friend who lives in that city.
Friend-in-laws.
Wow, we've had friend-in-laws so much in the last couple months.
I love friend-in-laws. It's so good.
How many friend-in-laws are you all still in touch with? I mean, assuming you're not
so many have become my real friends.
Tons of friend-in-laws.
Yes.
I'm a big believer in build community and never stop building it.
Absolutely. I love that. And bringing people along. I think that's the other advice, like bring people along. Don't be afraid to mix and meld your circles. You just never know. It's such a small world. By which I mean, you know, if you have a friend-in-law and maybe you two aren't really connecting per se, but continue just to like, keep them engaged, keep them apprised, say, hey, I'm going to this thing. And you never know. As both of your circles expand, you'll continue to get to know people. So that might be a tip. Give it a try.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know, the idea, I think a lot of people's limitations there is like, you know, not my best friend. We didn't click like I did with the person who we have in common. And that makes me wish that I could find other best friends quickly.
Yeah.
And that's just like hard to do. So I think sometimes people feel like they want to give up on that.
Yeah.
But I do think it's important to stick it out because ultimately those people might introduce you to other people who become your best friends. And even so, there was an episode of This American Life many years ago that focused on the concept of loose ties. And this is sort of similar where like, I think we are nowadays less in touch with the loose ties in our lives, but we really like the way our society functions is the loose ties in our lives. The people that we see once every few months and they're a friend of a friend of a friend, but they're just so fun to run into at a party.
Yeah.
And those are the people that like, you know, make coincidences really fun too.
I love that. And to add on to that, if there's a second, it's so interesting. There's been a lot of research right now about like social connections and how social media has curated such a specific space where we almost become kind of inured to the value of like just being okay with like, hey, this is an arm's length kind of relationship, but I still value and get a lot out of being around somebody I don't have a ton in common with, but I'm okay to share space with them. You know, you don't have to be best friends with somebody to share space. Community is going to be a mix of really intimate, close people that you like 100% vibe with. And there's going to be people who are kind of revolving around in that space who you might not vibe with, but they're still part of that community. Obviously, if there's active harm happening or there's really, really major clashes, yeah, of course, you can remove yourself from those spaces. But I love that concept of like loose ties and being like, I like this for what it is. You know, you're a person sharing the same space. We're in the same experience. We're in the same reality together. And here we are. We don't have to have a deep conversation.
So another, I'm famously bad / really good, maybe, ? At transitions. So here's the transition.
And look who Dorinda is.
Well, that's exactly what I was just about to ask about. Amanda B just picked up a cat. Who is that?
This is Little Peanut.
Hello, Little
Nutty
Peanut.
Pie. Yes.
So my question is this. You mentioned, you know, sharing space with people, community. You are a big fan of cats. My first question really is like, okay, you love cats. And you mentioned at the beginning of the episode that there's just so many threads that you can draw between these concepts. And you're doing it through this podcast where you are centering cats as part of that. Are dogs definitely, they hold a different place in society than that? But cats, can you tell us first of all about like the philosophy behind cats and where the space that they occupy in our society?
Absolutely. Well, first, I mean, building off of what we said about like breaking this binary between this or that, dogs, they must be better than the other animal. I don't believe in that. I think that there's something to be said about giving each entity, each phenomena, its own dedicated space. Just like the story of the friendship that began many tens of thousands of years ago between dogs and cats. I'm sorry, dogs and humans. I don't know what the relationship between dogs and cats was. We can't interview them about that. Same for humans and cats. What I found interesting about it is certainly try this out with your friends sometimes. Say I love cats and then say I love dogs and compare the responses you get spontaneously. You are 9 times out of 10. A cat lover will not instinctively say I don't like dogs if you say that to a dog person. But if I'm a cat person, I say I love cats. If I'm around somebody, they're just going to spontaneously kind of yuck my yum. And I think that that has to do a lot with like my closeout in 6 Degrees of Cats is this like celebration of the wonderful, the misunderstood, the marginalized, and the weird and the wonderful. Because cats, because of just however it shook out, there's a lot of like historical moments where truly people were told how to think about cats specifically. And that you can draw a lot of parallels in these types of things politically when it comes to gender dynamics. I want to be careful to draw a line not to anthropomorphize or to flatten very important nuanced things that are human subject interest topics to an animal. I mean, again, distinct spaces. But I couldn't help but notice those patterns because, you know, for example, almost all animal research on cognition is dogs. And then maybe yes. And so imagine if, for example, a species is compared entirely around another species' intelligence. We're going to miss so much. It doesn't really advance the science much further than that specific species. I will make an anthropomorphic comparison because we know that almost all clinical research is based around men, cis white men at a certain time. And then now behavioral research is mostly upper middle class undergraduate students at a college. And so, you know, I mean, that excludes a wide amount of different experiences. We just have an incomplete data set. So from a research perspective, it's just very much a huge miss. And there's opportunity in that because so many of the things I explore, just simply there isn't data. It's all fun speculation, but it's also a lot of a deeper dive into some really systemic ways that humans think that have caused a lot of problems and misunderstandings.
So we don't want you to give away all of your tips word for word, but if you could just sort of take us through maybe the big themes that people will take away if they do tune into your Wednesday episodes for the rest of the month. What kinds of tips are you giving us?
I'm giving tips for people who are doing their darndest to just get through this world without causing too many bruises and not receiving too many bruises either. I wouldn't go as far as to say every person has the most beautiful, benign intentions all the time. But I will say, for the most part, we're all doing the very best we can with what we have in the moment. This is not, I don't know who said that before, but you'll hear it from every thought leader in psychology. But it truly is true. And we need to be kind to each other. We need to be kind to ourselves. I think that tech culture, which is the fourth industrial revolution, I worked at the World Economic Forum for a minute, and I remember that was like a big topic. But truly, like, labor and how we live has changed. It feels like it's accelerating at a very inhuman pace. I'm not anti-tech, but I will say the human brain just didn't develop to be able to collapse all of this nuance in this world and be able to breathe and live and interpersonally interact with people in a way that actually allows us to connect. So yeah, these are all meant to help you connect to yourself or others. I heard this phrase when I was a band coach for Willie Mae Rock Camp for Girl, and I will say, don't yuck my yum. Instead, you can simply affirm my love. So if I say, if I say, I love dogs, and your instinct is like, oh, I don't really like them, I could say, I love that they make you happy. I'm glad that you love them. Because you are. It's great that they love them. It's not fake or disingenuous at all. You can also say nothing.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my tip.
When you are entering new social situations, you're meeting new people, you are getting to know people for the first time, how do you apply this tip in a way that lets you feel truthful to yourself and honest to yourself while also expanding your communication bases?
That is a really big, deep question. I love it, Ned. I'm all about those. I think I lead with curiosity and I try to act with compassion. I am only human and not perfect. I'm not aiming for that. Certainly, if you meet somebody and you instantly vibe, it's very easy. It's effortless. You'll just keep going and having those we're going to do this thing together kind of conversations. If you meet somebody you don't initially click with, you know, I mean, obviously read the room. They might be very uncomfortable. They have to go to the bathroom. They might be like, I gotta go. But also just lead with curiosity. I think that's a personality trait as well. I am naturally just dying to know everything about both of you. I want to know everything about every person I meet. I am endlessly fascinated. So I have to kind of attenuate that and not make people feel bombarded by questions. But I think, again, leading with curiosity and acting out of compassion, that just kind of helps. Like, I want this person to know that I find them interesting. I value my time with them. And I think they have something interesting to share with me. So that's kind of it.
What question do you have for the average daily tips that may or may not help you, a listener?
Yes.
Oh, that's a good one.
And they're all over the place. There probably is no average listener, but it's interesting for me to think about your perception of our listeners, our consumers, the people who watch the show.
Because,
of course, you mentioned you. You do watch the show. You do listen to the show. So for other folks out there, what questions do you have?
I love to hear, what is your weirdest trait? Not pushing into a boundary that's, you know, there, but what's the weirdest thing about you? I love hearing that because you kind of learn a lot about like what their norms are, and you can also
what they consider weird.
Yeah, and that's an opportunity to affirm them because then they'll feel seen, like, oh, I can be more authentically myself. This person accepts this thing. They don't think it's that weird. Unless they want you to feel like it's weird. You know, you can kind of read that.
Tippendales, let us know if you are a weirdo by leaving us a comment with your weirdest thing. I'm curious about that too. Again, not just because it'll yield a whole bunch of interesting fun facts about people, but also because it's a good barometer for what is considered weird where you live or within your social circle, things like that. Do you have an immediate answer to that, Ned or Amanda B?
Maybe I should rephrase it. What's your secret special recipe? Like, what's your secret sauce? What makes you you?
What makes me me is that I think I am happy to be exuberant about most things. I think the world's more fun when it's energetic and delighted in. And I think at first glance, a lot of people do not trust my excitements and my energies.
I get called out for being like, oh, there's no way that's genuine. And I'm like, no, this is earnest.
I get it a lot. And so I think my answer would be that. I also think I confuse people because I like yourself, just sort of like follow threads when they appear. So when I try to track threads during a conversation with someone in terms of like how I got to the conversation we're having, it's like nonsense. And people be like, that can't be a real path that worlds are on. And I actually think it's a thing I like about myself, but it's also like a deficit in other ways. Is someone will be like, you know, in a professional setting, sometimes people are like, we would love to see a certain amount of experience doing a certain thing. Like, I have a lot of experience doing it off and on for 12 years because it's just all over the map. Like, I think there are pros and cons to all behavioral trends, but mine tend to be a little bit of this and a little bit of that all over.
I love that, Ned. Thank you so much for sharing. And I love the reframe, Amanda, that it's not weirdness. It's your secret sauce.
Yeah.
It's the thing that makes you you.
Absolutely.
Amanda, what's yours? You mentioned right away that you know that you have a weirdest thing about you, that people tell you this about you. So what is it?
Almost every assumption people have about who I am is probably wrong.
Wow.
From my ethnicity to any aspect of my identity, they're going to assume certain things that are incorrect. And
wow.
So instead of feeling oppressed by that, I see it as a real advantage because you can transform surprise into delight for a lot of people. And it also kind of brings people into my world that wouldn't have expected they were invited in the first place. My accent, for example, I'm from West Michigan. I love regional accents. They are the secret sauce to this AI voice thing, okay?
You're right.
You'll know it's
That's
a real person
point.
When they have an authentic accent, okay?
Yeah.
And I think that it kind of...
When they have long A's.
Exactly. And like they say pop, although I say soda now. I've been in the city long enough. Yeah. I think that's my secret surprise. People are surprised to hear that I can connect with them over a lot of things that they didn't expect. So that's a little general, but also learn more and find out.
Learn more and find out more about Amanda B throughout the month as our guest tipper on Daily Tips That May or May Not Help You. Throughout the month, we've got a few more. And actually, this is a month in which there are 5 Wednesdays. So you get a little bit more Amanda than you did last month's guest tipper. So Amanda, thank you for joining us today. Thank you for sharing your 5 tips throughout this month. And with that, Ned, I'll hand it over to you to close us out for real.
Amanda, thank you for joining us. Tippendales, thank you for being with us on this interview Saturday with Amanda B of 6 Degrees of Cats. Be sure to check out the show notes where you can get all of the links and all of the info to connect with Amanda and check out the podcast, which you should be checking out immediately. And Amanda, I'm going to ask you for one last thing as we go, because I have decided that you are the relentless force of positivity I need to know in this world. So I'm going to ask you for one last little bit of positivity to give us a great rest of our Saturday.
Every day, find something to be grateful for about your pet and thank them.
Aww.
They may not necessarily speak human languages. They can feel your gratitude.
I love that.
That's great.
Amanda, as we head out, how can people find you again just so they can find you on the interwebs?
Fantastic. Well, thanks for asking. Thanks for having me. You can find me on at 6 Degrees of Cats using the number 6, or you can just Google 6 Degrees of Cats podcast. You'll find me on all major distribution platforms or listening platforms for podcasts, as well as feel free to find me on social media. I am on Instagram, TikTok. You know where to find that stuff.
Well, Tippendales, we will be back on Monday with another tip that may or may not help you. And we will have Amanda B every single Wednesday this month in October. So stay tuned and we'll see you all soon.
Thank you so much.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial. If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.